The UN Human Rights Council in Geneva is responsible for the promotion and protection of all human rights around the world. But its ability to carry out that role has been questioned in recent years, given the countries which sit on the rotating council. The current membership includes Saudi Arabia, the Philippines, and China, whose own human rights records are questionable, to say the very least. Well, now Australia takes its seat for the first time this week, having been elected for a three-year term to the UN Council in October. Australia too comes with some baggage. Critics point to the federal government's treatment of asylum seekers as not being conducive to the promotion of human rights. After 7:30, we'll be joined by the Foreign Minister Julie Bishop to talk about Australia taking our place on the Human Rights Council. But right now, let's go to Geneva. Daniel Webb is Director of Legal Advocacy at the Human Rights Law Centre, and he's in Geneva to attend the first sessions of the Council. Daniel Webb, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran. Thanks for having me.
The UN Human Rights Council has started its annual session there. Australia sits on it for the first time. What do you think Australia should be aiming to achieve during this three-year term on the Human Rights Council?
Well, victims of injustice all over the world need governments like ours to play a strong and principled role on the council. I mean, the people being slaughtered in their homes in Myanmar or political prisoners and journalists rotting in jail cells around the world need governments like ours to be part of the principled spine of the council, not a sort of corrosive influence gnawing away at its foundations with hollow rhetoric and unprincipled actions. But the challenge for our government is that it's going to struggle to play that role unless it improves its own human rights performance, because you can't command credibility on human rights while you violate them at home.
Well, I'll come to what you call a violation at home, but Australia, as you say, governments like ours need to be part of the principal spine of the council when it comes to human rights. I mean, Australia does play that role now. We join in efforts to impose better standards. We criticise governments. We make those criticisms known when there's leader-to-leader or minister-to-ministerial bilaterals. You know, Australia does take a pretty strong stand on these issues, doesn't it?
Sometimes, yes, and I hope we can see more of that. But the challenge for our government is that there is an absolutely staggering gulf between a lot of what it says on the world stage and what it does at home. It had to make clear promises to the United Nations and to the international community in order to get this seat. It told the world that it would advance the rights of Indigenous people all over the world, yet domestically it's failed to show clear leadership on the rights of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. It's made a big song and dance about promoting good governance and democracy, yet right now it's pursuing these undemocratic laws that would suffocate the advocacy voices of charities and community organisations. And the government also led its bid. I mean, today at the council, it said, you know, it's got a very passionate commitment to ensuring that all people have their rights respected. Now, I can only imagine how those words must sound to the 150 children who our government has held on Nauru for the last 5 years.
And speaking of the offshore detention, I mean, there's been a lot of criticism from within the UN and certainly within the domestic politic of Australia's offshore detention policies and the impact, as you say, on the children in Nauru or the men in Manus Island, and some of them living in terrible circumstances and there for a number of years. But the point is, Australia was nevertheless elected to this Human Rights Council with full knowledge of that, and many countries around the world are starting to adopt or copy to some degree Australia's offshore detention approach to offshore detention. Australia's not being treated as a pariah in that sense, is it?
No, and I think you make the fair point that, you know, there are some countries on the council that have pretty awful human rights records.
Oh, I'm talking off the council. I mean, some in Europe, when Europe faced that mass influx of people seeking asylum, some of the countries closed its borders and were talking about Australia. Donald Trump said to Malcolm Turnbull just on this recent visit, you know, we have a lot of regard for your immigration laws, for instance.
Well, I think on the question of refugees, if every country in the world did what the Turnbull government has been doing, we would have thousands of innocent people imprisoned indefinitely in awful conditions, and the world's refugees would be left with nowhere to go. So I think the way that Australia treats innocent people fleeing their homes, hoping for safety, is a case study in what not to do.
I suppose my question is, given that it's a case study, as you say, and it's been on display for 4 years now at least, if not more, why was Australia elected to the Human Rights Council? If your point is that we can't speak with credibility when we condemn others, but we were elected there.
Well, look, the Australian government was elected when its only competitor for the seat, France, withdrew. So it was elected unopposed in October last year. And I do think, you know, our government has an opportunity to play a principled role, to be part of that principled spine. But it's a question of degree. I mean, its authority on human rights is going to be weaker for as long as it continues to violate them domestically.
And what's your basis for saying that, Daniel? Apart from, you know, you might look on and think, well, that's obviously true. But what feedback have you heard or picked up there, or what have other countries indicated that makes you say that?
Well, it's interesting being here and hearing what the Australian government says, and then hearing what civil society groups and the delegations from other governments say. And you know, the thing is, those other governments talk about the things that the Australian government doesn't want to talk about, namely its cruelty to refugees, namely its shocking record in protecting the rights of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. And also, increasingly, they're starting to note this really anti-democratic slide in Australia that is epitomised by the laws before the parliament now that seek to suffocate the advocacy voices of charities and community groups.
Daniel Webb, can I just ask you finally and briefly, we're almost at the news, but given that on this council sits the Philippines, sits Saudi Arabia, sits China and others, is there any consequence for nations who sit on that Human Rights Council who fail to improve their own treatment of human rights, just briefly?
Well, they just lack credibility and authority. And I mean, it's essentially the world's human rights parliament. And like any parliament, I guess, there are some bad eggs, but they just command no authority and no respect. And it's true that the Turnbull government is not executing innocent people, but it is imprisoning them. And it's true that the Turnbull government is not imprisoning journalists, but it is and advocates, but it is silencing them. And these things, you know, there will be accountability for the gap between what our government says and does.
Daniel, we must leave it there.
On the council.
We're at the news. Thank you very much, Daniel Webb from the Human Rights Law Centre.